on a for a noon Eucharist church some of this, but I've just been lately, which is very unusual. The Lord kind of gets me hung up into places, and I've been staying in places and just meditating there, and contemplating what is there, and just looking up the meaning of words and just trying to learn more. Isaac, would you pray for me? So the other chapter of Hebrews is a chapter that talks about the heading for my chapter is the triumphs of faith. And looking at this, it's really caused me to reassess my own faith and how does it affect me? You know, too many times I think as Christians we get hung up in faith and what faith is, and we sometimes make into something that's really, really kind of not. You know, we try to describe it or make it into something that is tangible for us to look at and to handle and to think about. But the problem with most of us with that idea is there's this strange thing that happens with Christians, and particularly with charismatic Christians, I think, and that is that we tend to get real spiritual, but mostly the real spiritual is trying to make it the way we want it to be, and not so much the way it really is. You know, I've always said, because I came into the charismatic movement in the early 70s, that I should have a tattoo, and if I ever do get a tattoo, which I do not have a tattoo, but if I ever do get a tattoo, it will probably be that. I, the 70s charismatic world, because it was kind of crazy, but it was so new. The whole idea of moving in the Spirit was such a new thing, and so people were coming, you know, from, you know, the mainline churches that were pretty dead at that time. And coming into this moving of the Spirit, and so they were just, you know, they didn't know what to do. And so a lot of times we honestly, and I was in a ministry and we did this, a lot of times I think that we didn't really think in these terms, but we just kind of made it up. Because as we went along, you know, we'd say, we'd be like, something would be happening, and so we'd say, well, this is what it is, or we'd try to, you know, like, describe it on the fly, sometimes with not a whole lot of scriptural and biblical background to it at times. So, faith. What actually is it? You know, in this chapter here in Hebrews, it tells us very plainly, which is what's kind of funny, is that it's very plain. It tells us. In the very first verse of 11, it says, now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things the conviction of things not seen. So what does that mean? Have you ever really thought about that? What does that really mean? Actually, what do these words mean that this writer used here? And so one of the things I've been doing is looking up these words, the words of assurance, hope, and conviction, to get an understanding of what this writer is saying in this one verse, where he makes such a bold proclamation of, now faith is, this is faith, net faith is. And so I'm looking up the word of assurance in... it was so simple. I've really complicated. But assurance is simply, the word simply really means being certain in mind. Just simply being certain in mind. Of course, the certain, you know, is what are you certain of? And it's really, what are you really certain of? And it should be the goodness of God. You know, until we are certain that God's good all the time, if we leave any door open for God to not be good all the time in our lives, then we will always be facing these struggles. Because this is one of the things, you know, we said, you know, the other scripture tells us that the just will live by faith. You can't please God without faith. So faith is one of those issues that you've got to get. You don't have to get some super spiritual thing. You just got to get the basics of what it is, which is pretty spiritual, really. But we tend to make it into something that is, again, that it's not. And then part of that is because of, in the, I guess, the 40s, 50s, 60s period, we had this real move where we had faith healers. And so we attribute something to faith that's not really the real definition. Now, healing, praying for someone and them being healed, is a part of faith and having faith, absolutely. But that's not the definition of faith. To be able to pray some for someone and them to be healed. That's not really the definition. The definition is the assurance, being certain in your mind. And that only comes through relationship with Jesus, of course. The studying of the Word, seeing what the Word says, and then that relationship. That you become absolutely certain of His goodness and His love for you. See, in John 3:16 it says, we all know that, for God so loved the world, for God so loved you, that He gave His only begotten Son. We have to be certain that we understand that. That His love is that great, that He has held nothing back, and that He holds nothing back from us whatsoever. The assurance of His love for us, the assurance of His goodness. Hope is the other word being used. The assurance of things hoped for. This word hope means to cherish, is one meaning. But the other part of it is the one that really strikes me, a desire with anticipation. You know, sometimes I've hoped without anticipation. I have a hope in Christ. But sometimes I haven't anticipated His goodness. I have a hope without a real definition of what I'm hoping for, what I'm anticipating, what I'm looking forward to, what I know is going to come. And then, of course, conviction. This is a word that Bracken would be very familiar with, because as a lawyer, it's a legal term, conviction. In this state, you can be convinced of an error in court, you can be convinced of guilt, convicted of guilt, but if you're on the other side, you kind of get convicted of not being guilty as well. You're proven innocent. It's the conviction. In the definition that I looked up, it said a state of being convinced of error or compelled to admit the truth. That's the conviction that we have. We are compelled to admit the truth, which is the love of God and His great grace to us. Now, since this is supposed to be kind of a Bible study, let's look at the Hebrews 11 and what it says. We'll go quickly kind of verse by verse here. In verse 6 it says, this is one of those verses that tells us how important faith is. That's the one that says, without faith it's impossible to please Him, God. For you who comes to God, must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who seek Him. In verse 3, by faith we understand. This term in the New American Standard, by faith, is used repeatedly over and over and over and over again, which is that's one of those literature things that the Jews and the Greeks use with repetition in order to make a point and to convey a message. But it's used 20 times. And so I went through and I marked them all, and then I marked what it meant, what it was talking about. Verse 3 is, by faith we understand that the worlds were prepared by the Word of God, so that what is seen is not made out of things which are visible. If we can bring ourselves to come to that one point, how much of that would change our lives? Is if we would just come to, by faith, an understanding of what this basically says, understanding the greatness of God, and that He created everything. And He created this world. All the things of this world, they were created out of things that were not seen. This greatness of God. Understand, the definition for understand is to grasp the meaning of. So understanding God is to grasp who He is, the meaning of who He is, at a real base level. So we don't have to be super spiritual. We just have to be simple. See, you know, Bishop says so many times over and over again, he always seems like every time he speaks or every other time, he always says to us about becoming like a little child. Well, little childs are not complicated children. They're not complicated. That's the thing, is that they're not complicated. They're simple. The way they understand is simple. So we don't have to understand in a complex way. We just need to grasp the meaning of who God is and His greatness. One of the things that Hebrews teaches us about faith, and this is sometimes I think where we miss it as Christians, and because we don't want faith to be this way. See, we want faith to be so many different ways, but we don't want it to be this way. We don't want it to be Hebrews chapter 11 way. But we want faith to be this other way. What we want faith to be is for me to pray and you're healed. What we want faith to be is for me to believe for you to have financial prosperity. Well, what I want faith to be is that my life is good. This is what we think faith is all about. Is that if you just have enough faith. See, in the 60s and 70s, we heard that term used quite often. If you just had faith. And it took me as a young Christian, it was like, it was devastating to always be told, if you just had faith. Because I had not read enough to understand enough that was really not true. That if I just had enough faith. But what is enough? How do you define enough? And this is an important definition for you, to come up with your own. What do you define as enough faith? See, having lived to be 67 years old, my life has not been always a good life. It's been a bad life. I've lived terribly. I'm a sinner that is saved by grace, which is an extreme miracle of God that I've found it. But in the context of my life, I've had some really bad things happen to me and to people that I love and others. And so I've had to learn, what is enough faith? How do you define that? How do you go through the rest of your life knowing absolutely that you have enough faith? That you don't need more faith. You just need to live the faith that you have. And what I had to learn was that, see, God created the world. He's created everything that we see, everything that we are, everything that He did, He created by the word of His mouth. He just spoke it into being. He just created into being. But for some reason, salvation demanded all that God had. His Son. His only Son. Salvation was probably the hardest thing for God to accomplish. You know, creating universes apparently was a pretty easy task. But saving us was pretty difficult. And we, unfortunately, we don't make it any easier. Even after we've experienced His wonderful grace, we still make it difficult. So difficult that it took the very life of God to be shed. If you can believe that, which you have to believe that, to be a Christian, to start. How much more faith do you need? It's really easier, I don't know if you've ever done this, It's really easy to lay hands on a person on this prayer rail and pray for them to be healed. That's really easy. Go lay hands on a dead person. That's a lot more. I've done that when I was in Africa. It didn't work. The person didn't get jump up and live. But I'm just telling you, it's a lot easier to be able to believe for someone's healing than it is for someone to be raised, for you to pray for someone to be raised from the dead. But yet, the very foundation of your faith is the belief that Jesus Christ was raised from the dead. So how much faith do you need? See, in the charismatic world, we were, in the early 70s, we were always taught that you just need more faith. And so it's always about somehow you figured out, you come up with a formula to get more faith, you know. And different guys who was of the faith movement, and faith healers, they had different hoops that we jumped through, trying to come up with more faith and have more. And I was okay with that. But what I began to really have trouble was when I had friends that were dying. And they were told that they wouldn't die if they just had more faith. What a word of condemnation. Believing that Jesus is the Son of God and that He was crucified and that He died, He has risen from the grave. If you've got that much faith, you've pretty much got it covered. That's a lot of faith. The rest of it is just a walking it out in our lives and trusting and just walking in that faith, believing in His love and in His goodness. And so most of the Hebrews chapter 11, that's what it's taken up with, as you go from verse to verse. We have this description, and I'm just going to do this very quickly. By faith, Enoch was taken up. By faith, Noah was being warned by God. By faith, Abraham, he was called and he obeyed. By faith, he lived in an alien land of promise. By faith, even Sarah herself received the ability to conceive. By faith, Abraham was tested and offered up Isaac. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau, even regarding things to come. By faith, Jacob, as he was dying, blessed each of the sons of Joseph and worshiped, leaning on the top of his staff. By faith, Joseph, when he was dying, made mention of the Exodus. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden for 3 months. By faith, Moses, when he was grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. By faith, he left Egypt. By faith, he kept the Passover. By faith, they passed through the Red Sea. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down. By faith, Rahab the harlot did not perish. And in verse 33, we hit these chapters here. It says, who by faith conquered kingdoms, performing acts of righteousness, obtained promises, shut the mouths of lions, quenched the power of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, from weakness were made strong, became mighty in war, put foreign armies to flight. Women received back their dead by the resurrection, and others were tortured, not accepting their release. And others experienced mocking and scourging. And others also chains and imprisonments. They were stoned. They were sawn in two. They were tempted, and they were put to death with the sword. And they went about in sheepskins, in goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, ill-treated. All by faith. See, this is what our faith should look like. If we have the assurance, the hope, and the conviction, and then we understand that faith is not some mystical, spiritual thing, but it's an extremely practical thing. Because when you read these things, they were all practical things that were happening. Abraham. It says Abraham was a father of faith. What did he do? He just simply obeyed God, and he left his home and went to a foreign land. And he lived as an alien. Faith demands action and not. When you read this, each person acted. Or they responded would be perhaps a better word for us to really understand in the context of faith. As they responded to God. And so that's what we need to do with faith. Is we have all the faith we need if we're Christians. The faith that we had to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and that He has died for us on a cross. And that He's risen again and seated at the right hand of the Father. That's all the faith that we need. We don't need to like have more faith. We just need to use the faith that we have in our everyday daily life. So if you're not using faith in your everyday daily life, then when it comes time to have faith for something, like praying for someone, then that's where the struggle gets to be. Because there's no experience. There's nothing that we just, you know, that's where the doubt comes in, because we don't have experience to tell us how good God is. See, each one of us, God has called each person in this room, each person in the world, to something particular. That's particular to you, particular to me, to draw me into a life of faith. As we was singing, I was just thinking about Abraham being called the father of faith. And then when you read this here, if I can find it. In verse 9, you know, sometimes we think that the great act of faith that Abraham had was when he offered up Isaac. But really, the first real act of faith for Abraham that was the foundation for everything that he went on to do and to be, offering up of Isaac and all, was that he lived as an alien in the land of promise. You see, that's really what we're called to do. That's what every Christian is called to do. Because we're called to live in this world, which God will one day come back and God's going to redeem this, the whole thing. Every particle, every molecule will be redeemed. But we're called to live as an alien, as not belonging here. We're called to look to the future of the kingdom of God, and to walk as if we live in that very kingdom. And that's what Abraham first did. The rest of it was just him walking that real belief out. Did he really believe? Because really, you think about Abraham, and other than the fact that he offered up Isaac and he lived in a strange land, he didn't seem to be that much of a faith guy to me. Two different times he lied and said that his wife was his sister. Very much faith. But yet he's the father of faith. See, that's what's a funny thing about faith, is that you have all that you need as a Christian. But it's got to be a faith that has action involved in some way. That's why James is such a contentious guy when he tells us that, he goes off into this whole faith work thing, which is totally drives Protestants absolutely nuts. I'm from Baptist heritage. I love my Baptist brothers and sisters, and if everyone started fighting with them, I always ask them about the works. And that gets them going right off the bat. Works and faith. But James is pretty clear. I think Hebrews is pretty clear that if you've got faith, you've got works. You've got action. Using action would be easier than using works in James's descriptions. I'll show you my faith by my actions, by what I do. And that faith without action is dead. And so that's mostly what our problem is that we have a faith, but we've refused to have action. And so what we need to do is look for action. And you don't have to move to Africa. You just have to step out in the little ways that show up each day in our lives. And if you go back and you read a lot of these descriptions of by faith, they were minor things that were going on. I mean, they were great once they were done, but in the beginning they were just what was happening. They were not like something big cooked up. Faith involves bold actions taken as a result or as a response to God. But one of the characteristics of, wow, I'm getting close that I can quit. Faith has application. And that's what we need to do, is we need to apply faith. The faith we have just simply needs to be applied. We need to look for opportunities to apply our faith, to trust God, to get to know Him better and better. The characteristics of faith, faith is applicable to all situations. It's capable of being applied. It is suitable and it's appropriate. It's a solution that is applicable to the problem. So that's what our faith should be doing. It should be taking an action that we just simply believe that God's good, and that He's going to handle the problem. Now, go back and read verse 32 on forward. Sometimes He doesn't handle the problem your way. Sometimes you get sawed into, burned. Sometimes you have to live in animal skins. But those were the heroes of faith in Hebrews. But faith can see us through every situation. There's not a situation that if we'll just put it into God's hands, that He's not capable and willing to see us through those situations. Not always the way that we think we would like to see that done. So if we understand faith, and we're walking in faith, and we have faith working in our lives, and we're looking for those opportunities to just exercise very, very simple faith. You know, you don't have to go to the morgue to exercise faith. You know? I mean, you could start out, your first exercise of faith is when you get up tomorrow morning, just believe that God loves you. That He totally, completely is madly and wonderfully in love with you. And that He is so looking forward to spending the entire day with you. Just start right there. One of the neat things about faith is that our faith should never, and it will never, if it's true faith, will be determined by the outcome in any way. I'll tell you a real quick story, and it works out, about on the time for the night. Several years ago, when I was working for a company, it was struggling, you know. Working is not fun, you know, because it never goes according to my belief. You know what I'm saying? I've never had this wonderful boss that just affirmed me and paid me what I thought I was worth and was always nice to me, and our guys that I worked with, or even sometimes the equipment never worked, or the wood that we as in woodworking industry, so sometimes the wood just wouldn't work, just wouldn't want to cooperate with me. And so I was really struggling with my relationship with the Lord in the midst of all of that, because what was happening was my mind was being so occupied with all the stuff that I had to do that I would forget about God until I kind of got to the end of the day. Then I'd be like all crazy about that, you know, condemning myself and beating myself up about it. And so I got up one morning and I got real spiritual. I thought, this is the day. This is the day. So I prayed and I said, God, today, I just want to have my mind fixed on you. I don't want to get caught up into the problems. I don't want to get caught up in all the garbage, all the backbiting, all the gossiping, all the issues, whatever they are. I just want to have my mind set on you. In the course of my work that day, it was horrible. Have you ever had a day when nothing goes right? Absolutely nothing? I knocked doing woodworking, we had benches, we put our tools on and did work on, all that kind of stuff. I think I knocked every tool that I had off my bench on the floor. Twice. Nothing I did worked. It was horrible. I was good at what I did. I was good. I was kind of the best guy in our shop, the highest paid guy, looked to solve problems, to be the guy that fixed stuff and all that. It was terrible. It was just a terrible day like that. But at the end of the day, I was so mad with God. And I said, but God, I wanted to just have all my thoughts on you all day today. And look what happened to this day. It was just nothing at all went right. And He said, yeah, you're right. He said, but your mind was on me all day. I was like, what? He goes, yeah, every time something went wrong, you said, oh, God. And I stopped and I thought about that, and I was like, you know, you're right. Like God would be wrong, right? But that was the deal, was that I had got my prayer answered but it wasn't the way I was anticipating the answer to them. But I had literally spent, this is how bad the day was. There was probably not more than 30 to 45 seconds go by before I was talking to God about, God, what's going on here? I don't understand. What is this? Lord, really, really, God did. I'm going to knock that tool off one more time today, God, really? You know, it was all day long. And so my mind and my thoughts and my heart had really been with Him. Just not in the, I wanted it to be like really cool. You know, I wanted to like build something really, I wanted to do something with wood that had never been done that day. You know what I'm saying? And I wanted my boss to be like totally flipped out and freaked out and going like, oh my Lord, how'd you do that? You know, 20 people come by and look at what I did. Didn't nobody come by. I mean, people started staying away from me that day. That was what I thought when I prayed that day. And too many times that's what we think. Is that if we have faith, this is what it's going to look like. And God said, no, it may look a little different than that. Because faith is it's a lie. It's a response to God Himself that makes faith come along. And that response is not always the way we would like for it to be. Sometimes it is. You know, and that's awesome, you know, when you don't have any money and there's a check in the mail and you have the money you need to pay your bills. That's happened to me, and that's an awesomely great feeling, you know. But sometimes it just doesn't look the way you want it to look. It's like doing like something like this here, like trying to share something with people. Or, you know, doing communion at our noon Eucharist every day. Like this week has been one of those weeks for me. I can't read. I like mix words up. I mean, it's not like I mix get wrong words. It's like I literally mix two words together into non-word. I didn't think it was going to be that way when I thought I had enough faith to become a clergy. I thought it would be a little better than that. I didn't think that my faith would be walked out with me being foolish sometimes and saying things goofy and incomplete. But I have an assurance, and I have a hope, and I have a conviction of the goodness and the love of God. Amen. In the name of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And you guys will pray for Bishop now, I'm sure, that he will be back next Wednesday.